This is the Angles of Latitude podcast, session number 30, with Dr. Joe Albano, founder of Logica International.
This is Squadron Leader confirming hostiles inbound. Prepare for battle.
What you're about to hear is the integration of life.
Clarity is power.
If you live each day as if it was your last, someday you'll most certainly be right.
Liberty.
We choose to go to the moon.
It's happening.
And all things equal.
Yeah, I'm not sure I know how to answer that.
You got a badass over here.
Welcome to the Angles of Latitude podcast.
And gentlemen, welcome back to the Angles of Latitude podcast. This is the show where we talk with fellow creators about how they found their true groove in life by doing work that matters not only to them, but possibly the rest of the world. Every Thursday, we publish another conversation about the art and science of truly living a life of passion and how you too can do the work you're meant to do. I'm JC Preston, your host. I'm the founder of New Inceptions, a website dedicated in helping creative entrepreneurs do passion-filled work and, more importantly, connecting them with the resources and community they need to help share their message and work with others. This session is powered by Audible. You know, to be honest with you guys, I'm still reading Will It Fly a whole 2 months after it came out. You know, I think the main reason that it's taken me so long is not so much because it's a difficult read. It definitely isn't. It's more because of the work that Pat has made us do throughout the entirety of the book. He's really written it as if he's there helping us through each part of the book. And there's just so many exercises that you can do until you're blue in the face. I mean, lists upon lists and so much research. Anyway, you know, it's just the more that you do, the more you're helping your future success of your business. So needless to say, I'm really working the exercises thoroughly. However, if you weren't aware, he's also released an audio version of the book, too. I've heard some pretty great things about people who have opted for that particular version. You know, I can imagine it's a great quality because, you know, he did it in his own voice, and which means if it's anything like other audiobooks that I've personally listened to, he might have added some extra content here and there to it. So far, it seems that the only place that you can get this version of the book is through Audible. Did you know that if you start a free 30-day trial with Audible that you can get Pat's audiobook or any other audiobook for free? That's a pretty cool way to get started. In fact, since his book is 320 pages long, it's actually not a bad deal, especially since Pat is reading it to you. Just think of it as a really long podcast of his. If that sounds like something you'd be interested in checking out, you can do so by going through newinceptions.com/audible and get your free book today. And again, that's newinceptions.com/audible. Now that we have that out of the way, how you guys doing? I hope you're having an amazing and productive week. Mine's a little more hectic than usual, but there's some cool developments going on that I'm excited about. One is that we're going to be opening up our mastermind to more people, and I'll let you all know more about that when it's coming down the path. Currently, we have a group on Facebook, but I want to utilize some other platforms out there. So I'll let you know when that's all set and ready to go. I have a question for you guys today. What is the reason you're listening to the show? Or for that matter, any business, creative, or lifestyle podcast? Are you looking for tips and tricks? Trying to figure out the next thing you can do to make your passion-based business a success? Perhaps you just don't want to be alone with your thoughts of starting your own business because, you know, for the most part, you're probably the only one that you know that has those thoughts. Maybe you're trying to learn how to be a better entrepreneur. If it's that last one, I'm excited for you. In today's chat, I'm talking with Joe Albano, founder of Logica International. In our chat today, we discuss his passion with working with small business. We get down into the nitty-gritty about what it takes to make a successful startup, what's the difference between an employee mindset and an entrepreneurial one, and really, why new entrepreneurs need less advice and more support, which is what New Inceptions is all about, giving you guys more support. If you're the type of entrepreneur who's struggling to find success with your business, or just want to know why your peers don't understand why you'd want to pursue a business in the first place, I think that this chat will help you straighten things out a bit. So now let's get into this one with Joe Albano. Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, JC, and welcome back to today's show. Today, we're talking with Joe Albano from Alogica International. To tell you a little bit about Joe, he has spent over 30 years in the corporate world working with some of the biggest companies around the world. Many of those are in the Dow Jones. About 3 years ago, he and his company Alogica shifted their focus on working with local, small, and medium-sized businesses, primarily in the U.S. and focusing in central Indiana. The reason for this is that he understood the important role that small and medium-sized businesses play in today's job creation, sustaining local economies, and developing and maintaining strong communities. As someone that once started from scratch himself, he knows about the challenges that a business face as they start, sustain, and scale their enterprises. But that just describes his day job. On top of that, he's personally worked with local nonprofit organizations to focus their missions, align their boards, and improve their operational capabilities. Now he's working with students and interns from Ball State and Anderson University, investigating how to use entrepreneurship and social enterprise to build stronger communities. Joe personally offers individual and group coaching to businesses and transitioning professionals. He also conducts a series of workshops and retreats designed to make organizations and individuals and the individuals who run them more effective. Recently, he launched Career and Coffee, a quarterly forum for topics critical to the success of modern career startups and small businesses. So, Joe, welcome to the show, and thank you for coming on today.
Oh, great to be here.
Yeah, definitely looking forward to our talk today, and I think you got a lot of value you can share with our listeners. So, you know, we actually met at a Fizzle meetup, actually almost going a year now. Here in Indy, which, you know, I'm still hosting with my co-host Layla, which unfortunately she couldn't make it today, but it was definitely a pleasure to meet you. And kind of curious, what kind of events do you normally find yourself going to these days in the Indy area?
You know, I'm trying to plug into the entrepreneurial community here. So the events that I'm going to are things like the Venture Club. I spent some time at ACG, the Association for Corporate Growth. These are the people who have their fingers on the pulse of the merger and acquisition community here. And then, excuse me, I'm doing some work in the social enterprise space. There's an upcoming movement in central Indiana that's really exciting. People who want to create businesses that not only are financially sustainable, but also give back to their communities.
Right.
I think you know that I was part of a very small part of getting a new law passed in Indiana that recognizes benefit corporations as a legal form of ownership here. And that's really starting to take off. It's really exciting.
Cool. Yeah, there's all kinds of different businesses starting up in Indy, believe it or not. I mean, a lot of people that might know the Indy scene recognize this as basically as a tech entrepreneurial scene, but you know there's a lot more than that, and you know
there is so much more to the story than that. Yeah,
which you know unfortunately at Purdue that seems to be the primary focus, and if you're wanting to step outside of that, it's a little bit of a struggle. So maybe we'll get on into that a little bit down the conversation here. But
sure,
let's rewind a little bit. How did you actually get into entrepreneurship? I mean, what were some of your influences growing up?
Well, you know, probably my biggest influence was my brother, who's quite a bit older than I am. I have a brother who's 20 years older than I am. And my brother is sort of the archetype of the entrepreneur. He started, gosh, I can't even count the number of businesses in the number of different industries that he started. I mean, he started health clubs back in the 1970s before Nautilus, before LA Fitness, before any of that sort of stuff. Mm-hmm. He was in the cement business. He was in the private investigations business. Wow. So when I talk about everything, he was in everything. And what was really interesting about him is he was absolutely fantastic at starting businesses and terrible at running them. Mm-hmm. And if he had recognized that and built these businesses and sold them, he'd be a millionaire multiple times over. It didn't work out quite that way for him. Mm. So I got to learn a whole lot about what kind of personalities it takes, and that there are different people and different skills that are required at different points in a business's life cycle.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it would be interesting. You bring up the personalities, and I'm a huge fan of recognizing personalities, because I think that's one of the ways that you have to, you know, you recognize who you are and some of the stuff that you enjoy doing, right? And then that will help you to decide what kind of a business that you would be good at, you know, starting and potentially running. I actually just yesterday ran across a website, 16personalities.com, gives mm-hmm. you a really cool free Jungian 16 Myers-Briggs sort of thing. It's not normally the scale I use.
Based on the 16 PF?
Or? Yeah. And really, you know, for me, I've always kind of struggled with that one, because there, you know, there's just so many different combinations of, you know, INTJ, ENTJ, ENTP, you know, it's just so many different combinations. And personally for me, I just like to stay with more of the DISC profile, mm-hmm. but either way you go, if you can figure out what your strengths and weaknesses are, then you're going to be, you know, I agree with you. I mean, you're just going to be so much better set to figure out what core competencies that you can do in your business and, you know, scale it from there and bring on the right people. So, yeah.
Well, you know, everybody wants to talk about exit strategy, and they kind of look at it as this very mechanical thing. When I hit certain financial goals, when I hit, you know, but as you pointed out, there's a big personality component to it as well, because if you are good at starting stuff, but you know there's a point where you should get out of the business so that you can start the next thing, mm-hmm. that's a really big insight. Right. And so, you know, in our work, we spend a lot of time with that. And as you say, it's not, you know, the psychological instruments, they're great. They can give you a lot of insights, but they can also lead you into analysis paralysis. So we try and keep it really simple. You know, we talk about four different things that anybody in a business needs to do. You know, they need to be able to do stuff. They need to be able to make connections. They need to be able to organize stuff, and they need to be able to have vision. Mm-hmm. Well, not everybody has all of those four talents in equal measures. And once you know where your interests lie, you can make better decisions.
Right. Oh, yeah. And, you know, just like, what is that? John Maxwell, he always brings up the fact, it's like, you know, stay to your strengths and hire for your weaknesses, more or less.
Exactly. And that's so much different than the classical, you know, the big corporate mentality of, you know, we have to identify your weaknesses and then train you until you're even on everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Scientific inquiry, back from my days and my master's, you got scientific inquiry, I believe versus appreciative inquiry.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of people would say that appreciative inquiry is pie in the sky sort of thing and just looking at the positives, but it seems to work for some people. So, anyway.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had the privilege of hanging out with Diana Whitney for a while, took a couple of workshops from her, and had her in my doctoral program. And she's one of the pioneers in appreciative inquiry. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they were doing work with big corporations applying this stuff. So if you're willing to commit to it, it works no matter, you know, whether you're just starting out or whether you're a big multinational corporation.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, Alcoa is highly known for. Mm-hmm. I mean, they love the heck, at least when I was going to school, they apparently love the heck out of appreciative inquiry. So, oh yeah, big companies use it. So,
yeah.
But being a young baby boomer, I definitely have to ask you something here. I mean, how did you battle the status quo? And I'm sure your brother had to do it too, of what was expected of your generation. Much more was expected out of you guys than us millennials, who apparently can't even figure out what we want to do this weekend.
Well, I mean, you know, there's a lot that goes into that whole, that's a big question, but I guess a big part of what you're talking about is we were at the tail end of a really long period of time. This is actually something I studied. You're back at the turn of the 19th century, and I'm not that old, you know, the 19th to 20th century, when we came out of the farm and we went to the factory.
Right.
There was this, we started to establish this idea of you could get a good education and then get a good job with the right company and just ride the corporate escalator for the next 40 years or so. Mm-hmm. Right? And so all you had to do was essentially do what you were told long enough until you got people under you and you could tell them what to do.
Right. Because that's how it works, right?
Right. Well, you know, that's not an option for a lot of people anymore. And I guess I was lucky in that I was in corporate America and I started to see that happening. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't so much a battling the status quo as seeing the handwriting on the wall for me, mm-hmm. and seeing that if I was going to be productive, if I was going to get to continue to grow my career, I was going to have to grow a business. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the sad news is there are people in my generation who didn't see that. And so they're 15, 20, 30 years into a 40-year plan. And all of a sudden, that corporate escalator is broken down.
Mm-hmm. Good old 2008, right?
Right. You know, they get downsized, right-sized, whatever the current euphemism is for fired. Mm-hmm. And so you got people on the street who are 30, 40, 50 years old, highly skilled, highly experienced, and completely unemployable. Right? No. So if you don't have a sense of entrepreneurialism, then you wind up, you know, in a job that either involves a blue vest or a paper hat and the phrase, would you like fries with that? Well, and it's really sad.
And it's really true, though. I mean, I got to tell you, when I first got out of grad school, I graduated in 2009. The first thing I did when I came to Indianapolis was I got in, started with this organization called BPE, right? And BPE stands for Business Professional Exchange. And essentially what it is, it was a support group for executives that were let go in recent years. And it was especially because of 2008 being so recent at the time that, you know, these people reported to this group like it was literally their job. I mean, they were there. I think the one that was on Monday was like at 7:30 a.m. And there they were, just like, you know, religiously every week. Mm-hmm. There they were. And it's like, what kind of, you know, I would ask them, I was like, what kind of, you know, progress did you make? Well, I did, you know, look for this kind of job. And, you know, there was a job that was posted in Cleveland. And I was thinking about, you know, pretty much changing my entire life to go chase that. And I'm like, you know, as I'm sitting here, because I got, again, my master's was in entrepreneurship through the Burton Morgan program at Purdue. Mm-hmm. You know, I thought, I was like, you know, looking at all the talent that's in this room, why don't they start a company themselves? You know, it's just like, and I don't know how many of those people that was in there, how many that ever came to, you know?
Well, you and I have talked about this before, right? So much of the educational system is still designed to produce factory workers and corporate managers. Mm-hmm. And so the idea that you could start your own corporation, I mean, even though these are really, really smart people, it's just not part of the way that they think.
Right.
So a big part of what you and I do is we're trying to get people to break out of that mold and see that there's more possible than they can even imagine.
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, it's just funny how rampant it is, for sure.
So. Yeah.
Going back to some of your experiences, at one time you were all around the world, and oh, yeah. Now you're focusing on little Indiana, as some would think, flyover state Indiana. How has that shift gone for you? I mean, you were dealing with some really big companies, and now uh-huh. you're like, you know, focused on these essentially mom and pop sort of companies.
Yeah, mom
now.
And pop and a little bit bigger. I mean, we do stuff up into the medium range, so okay. You know, we've got companies that are in the, you know, top line $100 million range or things like that, all the okay. way down to pre-revenue companies.
Right.
So, you know, again, it's a big question, but a couple of things. One is I got out of the big companies for a whole bunch of reasons, but I'll mention two of them right now. One is, if you just look at where the economy is going, if you look at where job growth, if you look at where economic growth is coming from, it's coming from the small and medium businesses. So that's where the action is. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is that in big companies, there are still way too many places to hide. You know, there are, it's still possible to kind of hide under your desk and not get noticed. It's getting harder, but you know, the biggest project I ever worked on was about $1.7 billion. Mm, mm-hmm. And the guy who was running that, the client, right, the executive vice president for the client, if that project had gone completely off the rails, as long as he didn't get too much of it on him, it was going to be okay for him. His career was going to go just fine. Mm-hmm. Right? If you're in a small or medium business and a $1.7 million project blows up or a $170,000 project blows up, you can't make payroll.
Right. Yeah.
You might lose your house. You might lose your spouse. Mm-hmm. So the people I work with now are much more committed to doing stuff, and that's a whole lot more fun.
Yeah. Oh, and their butts on the line, so to speak. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the stakes are higher, and it's not, for me, it's not really an adrenaline rush thing. It's being able to have impact.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I can see that. And the fact is that, you know, one of the sayings that I use all the time, it's a lot more rewarding to be able to see your actions turning a speedboat than an aircraft carrier.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah. You know, and the cool thing is that now we're getting enough reach that we're starting to get clients from all over the United States, and we're even talking to some international clients as well. So we do a lot of stuff by phone.
Right.
We've got a really nice presence going on in the federal space in Virginia. One of my clients just got accepted into the 1776 incubator in the DC area, which is kind of a big deal. So yeah, it's fantastic.
Well, and kind of making me think there, if you're working with, is that governmental stuff?
She's got an amazing analytic tool that she's doing as a software as a service.
Oh, okay.
For the government contracting space. And so it's both for government contracting agencies as well as the people who are writing proposals for those contracts.
Okay. Cool. Yeah, it's too bad that you can't reach into academia, because I know that academia has some of those hiding under the desk situations. And yeah, it's,
talk to me in about a year. We've got some stuff that I'm not quite ready to talk about.
Because it's just, yeah, it's just amazing how people go through even that career world, and they won't have to play nice ball with each other. And it's just like, really? I mean, yeah, no, as long as they're both getting paid to do what they're supposed to do, then everybody's supposedly happy. So anyway, you know, a huge passion of yours is to see others do well. You know, you can just tell by what we're talking about here. And obviously, as you said, I mean, I'm a huge fan of that as much as you are. And I think that's why we do what we do. Has that always been a focus of what you do? I mean, you were talking about earlier how you had seen the writing on the wall that you wanted to start your own business. Mm-hmm. Was this whole world your first business, or what did you start out with?
You know, okay. So 30 some odd years ago, I finished my bachelor's. I have an undergraduate degree, a bachelor's of science in electrical engineering from a school on the East Coast, from Rensselaer Polytechnic Institute. And I went to the West Coast and went to work for one of the high-tech firms out there. Mm-hmm. And really quickly, I mean, within the first 6 months of working there, I discovered a couple things that really formed what I am today. One is, the last thing in the world I wanted to be was an engineer. Nothing against engineers at all. It's just not the way my brain works.
High five. Didn't take me that long either.
The second was, the technical projects almost never fail because of the technology. Mm-hmm. By the time you're getting around to commercializing a technology, the technology has been pretty well proven out.
Right.
And the third is, the reason that they fail is because of the human dynamics. Mm-hmm. Right. And the last thing was that I learned I was pretty good at the human dynamics part of things. So that's where my next 2 degrees went, was in that whole management organizational psych direction.
Mm-hmm. Well, there you go. I kind of went on the same path with organizational leadership. So
right. So, you know, it became a focus really early to say that, to see these amazingly smart people mm-hmm. who got blindsided just because they were trained so much to look at the mechanics of the situation and not at the human dynamics. Mm-hmm. And the work that we do, the work that I started doing back then, all the way through to the work that I'm doing now, 90% of it is getting people to just notice. Right? And when they do that, they start to see how they can succeed. And then, like you say, you get to stand back and go, look at what they've become. And that's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm just glad that, you know, you've been able to, over the years, make a career out of that, because it just seems to me that a lot of times it's like, what is it, chasing a white elephant or something like that? Because again, it's just, it's so hard, especially with people being ingrained into the, again, you know, the education world that we happen to be in. You know, even today, it's still good grades, go to a good school, get a good job, and have a career. I mean, that's still, I mean, I think there's some people that are waking up, and I'm glad to see that. But at the same time, you know, you have those kids that are coming out, and, you know, they're like, yeah, they're so diehard about, you know, they're going to start a business, but they don't really have any experience to really build that business on yet. And I think we'll get to that later. But,
well, you know, and the flip side of that is, you see the kids who come out and they want to get that job with Google, or they want to get that internship with Google or Uber, or, you know, one of the big names.
Right.
And that's fantastic. But look at the tenures there, right? People are at Google or Uber or any of the high techs for 2, 3, maybe 4 years.
Right.
That can be a fantastic learning opportunity, but you need to have that trajectory. Getting that internship, getting that first job is not an endpoint like it used to be.
Right.
Like we said, it used to be that first step on the escalator. And then if you just stayed on that step, the escalator would move for you. That's not going to happen anymore for 99% of the working population, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, and yeah. What can you do? I mean, change education, and that's, you know,
actually, that's kind of a hot button for me, because I think that's what a lot of people want to do. They want the world to change around them, and that to me is what defines an entrepreneur. Is somebody who looks at a situation and instead of saying, hey, somebody ought to do something about that, they step up and say, I'm going to be that somebody.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. There's been a couple of organizations that I even met outside of even in the different meetups that I've gone to. Carol Coots, I think she, if you've ever met her, has started doing a local initiative here in Indy called Success After School.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a guy that I've met up in Muncie that's trying to do something as similar. And, you know, he's doing more of an inner city sort of thing, but I could see how entrepreneurship could play a role into that, because, I mean, what, even if the kids that are, you know, struggling start going to school, what's that actually going to do for them in the long run? Right.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's definitely those that are already trying to do some external work, but yeah, it's always that, how do you work that into the mainstream? And it'll be interesting in the next couple of years to see how that goes. Focusing on Logica itself right now, it seems to me that you have a lot of different interests in, and really for me, as kind of going into that whole personality thing, I'm an ENTP. According to the 16 personalities test that I did yesterday.
Uh-huh.
And one of the things that I struggle with, apparently, that they predicted, was that I would kind of find it difficult to focus. And
sure.
So I'm kind of asking you here now, it's like, you seem to have a lot of irons in the fire. And for me, I can only have like 4, maybe, right? Maybe. And they're all business related. How do you see all the things that you're doing working together?
Sure. Well, you know, we've talked about this a little bit, but it's that whole idea of we no longer live in a world where the employee mindset is going to work. And I don't care whether that you want a job, you know, you want to go into the what's left of the corporate world, or whether you want to start your own thing, or you want to be part of a startup or work for a small or medium business. That entrepreneurial mindset is the key, we believe, I believe, Roger believes, moving forward. So we want to make entrepreneurialism work for everybody. And what everything that we do is just a variation on that. It's how do you want to come to entrepreneurialism? You want to come as somebody who's going to be part of a startup? You know, are you going to come as somebody who wants to be part of a founding team, wants to be part of that takeover? Remember, we said some people are good at starting businesses, other people are good at operating them.
Right.
So maybe your entrepreneurial calling is not I start businesses, but it's I'm part of the team that comes in and then operates them. Mm-hmm. Helping people, working with people to create that awareness and to help them fit into this new way that business works is the organizing principle for everything that we do.
Right.
Right. And the biggest part of that is there's a lot of myths and legends and half truths about entrepreneurialism. You know, we still live in this era of everybody thinking entrepreneurs are these rugged individuals.
Who are professionally stay at homes.
Right.
And what is it? Professionally not being paid to do work that they might like to do. What? Something like
that. Yeah. You know, all that sort of stuff. And so we've created this kind of insulation around a lot of entrepreneurs have created this layer of insulation around themselves.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so a big part of the work that we do, and in fact, you know, if we get around to it, we can talk a little bit about the new thing that we just launched, is about getting people out of their shell, about recognizing that just because you're on your own, you don't have to do it alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that I love about being in the Midwest and being in Central Indiana is so many people here are either zero or one generation removed from having some sort of agricultural experience.
Yeah.
And, you know, whether you're on 4 acres or 400 acres, you recognize that you need to be responsible for yourself, that there's a lot of stuff that the neighbors are too far away to get some help. Mm-hmm. But you also recognize as a community that when it's time to raise the barn, everybody comes together and gets done what needs to get done.
Yeah.
And that's a lot like entrepreneurialism.
Yeah. Oh yeah. No, and that's right. It's what I you know, when I was funny enough that you should mention that, the phrase that I learned in my Amway days was that you're in business for yourself, but you're not in business by yourself.
Exactly.
And I think that if you take that mentality to regular kinds of businesses, that you build your tribe, so to speak, which is mm-hmm. what I'm trying to do here. New Inceptions is that it's like find those types of individuals that complement what it is that you're trying to do, and then, you know, again, build that core group, and then you guys build that synergy and makes, you know, you guys can put, you know, mastermind together or you know, just that's a basic idea that you can do, but all kinds of things that, you know, just because you guys have different models of what your actual business is, or even what your focus is, doesn't mean that you can't help each other, you know, succeed more.
So, mm-hmm.
Right.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people are, again, listening to this, and they're either what I would call a freshman or a sophomore in getting their business going.
Mm-hmm.
A freshman, again, as someone that is, you know, seeking clarity and really trying to figure out what it is that they want to do, where a sophomore is someone that actually has started their platform and maybe making some income and having a little bit of success, but they're not necessarily to the point where they're actually hiring a team and scaling, right?
Right.
I think one of the things that comes up to mind quite often is the fact that a lot of the mindset that you have to go through to be going through those different levels is that in the workplace, we see that you're kind of told what to do.
Right.
Right. And that people are making a fortune just helping people realize that, you know, you got the mindset between an employee versus an employer. No, the difference between an employee and a business owner and an entrepreneur are completely two different things. And I think you were talking about before the show that that's one of the things that you have to deal with all the time, is that you have all these people that are programmed to, they're waiting for the next thing to be told to them to do.
Exactly.
Right. And, you know, a book that just came out by Pat Flynn at the beginning of February, it's called Will It Fly? And he was on the number 6 on the New York Times bestsellers list. Mm-hmm. And for that book. And the reason why is just because, again, I mean, even with all the free information that is out there, that is like, this is how you start a business. Even with all that information, people are still second guessing themselves.
Exactly.
You know, and it's like, you honestly have to, you know, like you and I both realize, we have to, I don't know, hold their hand more or less as they're going through these different phases.
Well, it's what you were talking about, right? You said you have to build your community. You mm-hmm. have to know the people that you can trust to find out, to experiment, to, you know, if it doesn't fly, to at least get, you know, a soft landing that's not going to damage you too much. Mm-hmm. Right. So to torture that analogy a little bit more, the group that you trust, the community that you build, becomes your wind tunnel, right? It's a place where you can try out these ideas. But the world's changing so fast. The business environment is changing so fast. Just everything is happening so fast that you can't depend on old recipes anymore, right? So you can't just go, it's not formulaic. You can't just go through the worksheet and say, okay, I'm going to do my startup. So first I have to do this, then I have to do this, then I have to do that.
Right.
Those things are great as a starting point. But every business is unique, and that's why you need that community to be able to throw those ideas around, mm-hmm. right? So you start with the networking. You go out and you just go to these events, and you know, you meet people, and it's a good way to get out and get known, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But then you need something more. So you've got the stuff that you're building with the online presence and people who have a little bit of history with each other.
Right.
We take that a little bit further, and we do highly curated both individual coaching. You know, I don't take on that many coaching clients, and this always sounds like I'm being a snob when I say it, and I don't mean it that way at all. But I'm really selective about who I work with on an individual basis, because I want to make sure that they're going to get something out of it, because, you know, it's an investment in time and money. And if it's not going to work, it's not a good fit. But also with the masterminds, or the personal advisory boards is what we call them, that we run, those are also highly curated, because we want people who are as committed to each other's success as they are to their own. Mm-hmm. You know, those groups work because they are intact over time with people that you can talk to about anything. And if you've been, and I know you have been in some of, not my groups, but some of these kind of groups, mm-hmm. it really is. Anything is fair.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Yeah. Because you know, you need that. You go to the most networking events, and everybody's doing great. Everybody's business couldn't be better than it ever was before.
Right. Until they suddenly stopped coming. But that's
exactly. Or until, you know, all of a sudden they're selling life insurance or whatever it is. Yeah. And yeah, I'm not trying to criticize anybody. I'm just saying that that's the level that those groups work at. Mm-hmm. If you're really going to move forward, you need that deeper level of connection. And right. What we've found is the people that we work with, having that level of professional facilitation, having that level of curation, is a differentiator for them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and this kind of goes on to the next question that, you know, which is something that comes up in my masterminds all the time, is like, I only have limited time amount to do this business of mine. For example, one of my mastermind members is really successful podcaster, but he does not have a product. So he has all this traffic, but he's not selling anything.
Right.
And it's like, okay, you need to monetize this somehow, but I don't have the time. You don't understand. I'm working all the time, and that would require, you know, such and such resources. And I'm like, but dude, if you want this to work, if you want to utilize all the time and energy you've put into just doing the podcast, then you need to create a product or something, because otherwise you're just spinning the wheel. Right. Mm-hmm. And so I guess going into the next question is like, how do you find the time for yourself? How do you find all the time to do all the different things that you're doing and to still have a life?
Well, you know, I think that you have to look at entrepreneurialism as a system. If you look at it as a component of your life, then you're always playing the old work-life balance thing. Mm-hmm. Where, you know, I have to choose. Am I working or am I living?
Right.
And when I do more of one, I get to do less of the other.
Right.
Right. So ultimately, you have to look at how all those parts and pieces come together and make some intelligent choices. So like your friend who's not monetizing his podcast, mm-hmm. right? Maybe he needs a business partner. And then everybody gets into the, but I want it to be my own thing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's simple math. You know, 1% of $1 billion is still better than 100% of $1 million.
Or $0.
Exactly. Right. Exactly. And that works whether you're talking about $1 billion, $1 million, or $10,000. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. So it's all choices, right? If it becomes trade-offs, then it gets to be a chore. But when you're making informed choices, then you get to decide. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the big things that we work with, and I'm sure you do as well, is a lot of people come to, whether it's a mastermind or a networking event or just a conversation, they come with their wish list. What I'm more interested in is, what's the list of things that you're willing to do? And then can we assemble those things in a way that creates the life that is closest to the life that you want to live?
Right.
Right. We've talked about this before. We said, you know, go to a cocktail party, go to a networking event and ask how many people want to write a book, and everybody will put their hand up. But the reality is most people want to have written a book.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yeah. Unless you actually want to write a book, unless you have the energy to write a book, then stop. Don't waste your time and energy on that. Put your time and attention into the things that are going to move you forward.
Yeah. And by the way, anybody that's listening that has a higher degree, you've already more or less written a book. So do it again. It's the way I look at it.
True. Yeah, but this time make it so that people actually want to read it.
Yeah, yeah. That's been something else that I've met people that they'll write a book, but they'll write it in a way that only makes sense to their industry, more or less. Or they'll write it at a level that doesn't necessarily vibe with the general audience. And it's just mm-hmm. like, man, I mean, you have such an awesome message here, but you know,
right.
no one's going to be able
nobody
to
can understand it.
Right.
So, well, you know, the old story. Okay. So the old story back in the days when libraries were actually buildings with books in them.
Right.
And dissertations got published in them. Mm-hmm. The old story was that when students got a little too cocky about how great their published work was, their professors, their dissertation committee would tell them, find your copy of your dissertation in the library and stick a $20, $50, $100 bill in the middle of the dissertation someplace, and then come back 3 years later. And, you know, invariably, that money would still be in there because nobody had opened the book. That doesn't work anymore because now dissertations for cash.
Yikes.
But anyway, wow. Yeah. So, you know, it's great to have a message, but the real key is getting that message heard. It's great to have the next idea for the next killer app or the next killer community business. Mm-hmm. But the key is execution. And so it's really doing that assessment of what actions are you willing to take? And then how can I partner with other individuals to fill in the gaps so that we, whether it's my business, your business, our business, can move forward together and create something that's going to compensate us fairly and make a difference in the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely important to get the, you know, everybody on the same page and
mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's killer. Going real quick into, you were kind of making that analogy with the library and dissertations and things. Let's just kind of go into that real quick. You are currently working outside of, is it outside of Logica with Ball State or Anderson? Or are you still part when you're doing that work? Are you still through Logica?
It's mostly through Logica. Logica actually has a couple of interns, and then we've got some other relationships with some students. Ball State has a student-run advertising agency, and we're working with some of their students. It's really fun just kind of looking at what students are doing. We're doing some stuff at IU, mm-hmm. IUPUI. Mm-hmm. They are doing some stuff to promote entrepreneurialism there. So we're just trying to engage with people who are coming out of school and making that realization that they've been trained to be a corporate manager and they've been trained to enter a job market that no longer exists.
Right. Well, you know,
really bad surprise.
Right. Well, and you know what's funny is that, you know, I actually kind of met the late Denver Hutt kind of with the same stars in her eyes of what could be. And I'm glad that she never lost that. Mm-hmm. But I remember meeting her when I think Verge had just become Verge. And it was at a when it was still at the church on East Street, which I think at the time was called Earth House, was the name of the coffee shop that used to be.
You're going back a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And this was, you know, the way before she had anything to do with this, the speakeasy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, she was just a fresh person straight out of school. And it just kind of struck me that I could tell that she was going to be going places, but there were a lot of people that were kind of like that as well, that what happened to him? You know? And it just strikes me as like, where'd they go? You know? So
you may have pushed a button that you didn't want to there, but let me actually say a little bit about that. One of the things that I think happens is they get caught up in a system of people who want to be helpful and just keep piling advice onto them. Mm-hmm. Right. And the problem with advice is it usually comes in the form, what I would do if I were you is blah. Mm-hmm. And it very often comes from people who have no background, who may even still have day jobs, mm-hmm. right? Who have no entrepreneurial background at all. So a big part of the work that we do is we try and get people to give less advice and more support, mm-hmm. right? To really share their experiences and have an opportunity for learning. But not this programmatic, oh, you ought to do it in exactly the same way that I did.
Right. Yeah. Well, and it's more of a, you know, one of the things that I think that this show is a little bit different than other ones is that I kind of expect I don't try to get specific examples of like, these are the tactics that you need to do this so you can get results here, right? Mm-hmm. What I try to do is I try to make interesting conversations to get more of a mindset to help the listener more or less kind of like a coaching call. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying? It's like they need to be able to be like, okay, this is the person, this is the path that they went on. How can I take the information, their path, their journey and change my inner self to reflect
who that person was, if I liked what their message was or where they ended up being. Right.
Exactly.
And I think there's a few podcasts that I listen to that are like that. Solopreneur Hour, with Michael O'Neill, and one that hasn't grown as quickly as his, but one that I've been listening to for as long as I've been listening to podcasts. Actually, it started with as Blogcast FM with Srinivas Rao, is now called Unmistakable Creative. And two very interesting shows. They just kind of like what I'm trying to do here. They just kind of have these conversations, and it's up to the listener to extract the information from that conversation.
Right.
Yeah. So cool. Getting back into student stuff real quick.
Sure.
One of the questions I kind of have is, what if you're still working through Logica with what is your capacity when you go to these schools? What, I mean, obviously you don't have the time to be a continuing lecturer like, you know, a lot of the folks that I knew at Purdue. Mm-hmm. But do you still do events or what? What's your dynamic there?
It really depends on the school. I talked about, and maybe we'll talk about this in a second. I talked about this new event that we're doing, and we've designed this event to be scalable, so we can do it with everybody from students. We call them emerging professionals, the people who are coming out of school expecting to enter into that professional world and find out that they've been prepared for something that doesn't exist anymore. Mm-hmm. The transitioning professionals, the people who got on that 40-year plan and then had the rug pulled out from under them and go, right. Oh, what do I do? Right. To the people who are starting and running small and medium businesses. Mm-hmm. So would love to do more of those. And in fact, if any of your listeners are in education and want to do something like that, it'd be great to get in touch with them. Love to do those in the public as well. And so we're always looking for venues to do that. With a set of interns I have right now, working with their professor. And so we're doing a joint educational and support thing. And they will actually be presenting at the Ball State Student Conference that's coming up in, I want to say April, but I probably got that wrong.
It's probably going to be April. It seems that that's time of the year that those sort of things go on. Yeah.
And they wanted to look at this whole issue of social entrepreneurialism, you know, as philanthropy is becoming harder and harder to get, you know, there's not as much philanthropic dollars floating around in communities. How can communities become more self-sufficient? Mm-hmm. So they're doing some studies around there and doing some research and they're undergrads and they're doing, I would say, you know, graduate level research. In that area.
Yeah, you see a lot of that anymore too. Like John, he was a actual, for anybody that listened to the early sessions of the show, here's a really quick update on what's going on with John. He actually has done really, really well for himself in his department of finance. And he's been telling me that a lot of the stuff that he didn't even know it was going to happen this year. I mean, as far as last summer knew, he knew that he was going to start a business, and that was, you know, because he was going into his senior year, that was his plan. And now he's talking to, because he's doing so well in these student-run research competitions, mm-hmm. that his department has had him do, that now he's looking at, like, regional and national competitions for this research stuff. And it's not necessarily going over my head, but he doesn't tell me too much about it. I mean, but he's so swamped in it, though. But it's coming out the fact that he's having national firms, finance firms, talk to him about bringing him on as soon as he's out of school.
Mm-hmm.
So it's funny how, you know, those kinds of opportunities will actually lead to success after school.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah. I just, for the second year in a row, I helped judge the ACG Cup, which is a finance competition. It's a business case competition for MBAs, for finance MBAs. And I will tell you, the case, it's a real case. It's based on real firms and real transactions. And these students bring a level of sophistication that is, it's borderline scary. But it's a way, you know, it's something that they don't have to do. I talked to the winning team this year, and it's two rounds. And the winning team told me that each one of the individuals in their team spent 40 hours preparing for the first case and 50 hours preparing for the second case. And we only give them a week to do it. But it's wow. The people who are willing to step up and differentiate themselves that are able to show up, to, you know, to show up on companies and small businesses' radars.
Mm-hmm. So do you think that is one of the major things that leads to a student's success as they're coming out of college, is just their ability to focus and have that sticking factor, so to speak?
I think it's clarity. It's understanding where you want to go. So, you know, and not just the next step, but set yourself up for a trajectory. What is it that you want to do? If I'm going to, you know, if I really want that Google internship, how am I going to get there? And then what am I going to do once I land there? Mm-hmm. Right? Am I headed towards starting a business? Am I headed towards being part of a startup team? If I'm headed towards being part of a startup team, or if I want to start my own business, what are the resources and experiences that I need to gather?
Right.
Because like we said, you know, in the not too distant past, somebody else was figuring that out for you. Once you got a good job at a good company, somebody else was managing your career.
Exactly.
You've got to take a whole lot more responsibility. And I don't care whether you're, you know, 18 or 58. You've got to take a whole lot more responsibility for managing your own career.
Yeah, and a lot of people is still really, really scary to be able to do that.
Right. Yeah. Something goes wrong, and they kind of hunker down and await further instructions.
Mm-hmm.
That call's not coming.
No. It's, you know, sticking your head, you're an ostrich trying to stick your head in the sand and hoping that, you know, something's going to come on your doorstep. Yeah. So moving towards the end of the conversation here, rapid fire question time. Are you ready? You think?
Sure.
All right. So experimented on this one last week, and I think it's a good one. What are three truths that you found out over the years that you want to share with others?
Oh boy. All right. So let's start with the big one. And that is that, you know, the world is changing. And I know when you say that, it sounds a little cliche, and, you know, every generation thinks that it's subject to more change than any that came before it. But like we said, you know, that old paradigm of the management labor thing is blowing up. And sometimes it's hard to see because the world is so dynamic when that big change is happening. And I think it's just really important for people to realize that that the old models of work, the work that we've been preparing for the last 100-150 years, just doesn't exist anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The second is that personal responsibility doesn't mean having to go it alone. That it's really important to form those deep connections and to invest in them. And I don't mean necessarily paying for professional facilitation. You know, in full disclosure, that's a big part of what I do for a living, so I'm not against that either.
Right.
But investing your time, you know, again, it's that old cliche of, are you working in your business or working on your business? And it's easy to dismiss that as just that little phrase, but really being conscious of when you of stepping back and building your business, not just executing, not just turning the crank, but actually building the next version of the crank that you're going to turn.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oh gosh, don't you hate that? You had one, and then as we're talking about the previous one, it goes out of your head.
Yeah.
You know.
Go ahead. You can take it.
world's changing. Get that support. You know, work on your business. And notice. You know, notice what you're doing. You know, and notice those strengths. It's so easy for us to concentrate on the I can do. I can do 50, 60, 70% of what I need to do to grow my business. And then I fixate on that 30% that I can't do. And I start beating myself up. Mm-hmm. Right. Notice what you've accomplished. And then, as we talked about earlier, find those people who can fill in the gaps instead of beating yourself up over those gaps. Right. It still counts if you win as a team.
Exactly. And again, that's someone just, people just forget so much because they're so used to a, you know, a dog eat dog world and corporate America. So, yeah. Next question is three favorite teachers, influencers, in your life, and they can be creative, business, or otherwise.
Gosh, there's a really obscure one. There's a guy who's, I'm probably going to get his name wrong. I think it's a researcher, a psychological researcher. I think his name was Wasserman. He wrote an academic article, but it's probably one of the most readable academic articles I've ever read, called Finding Someone to Be. And he talks about identity formation. Mm-hmm. The idea that we have to make a conscious choice about, to put it really simply, what we want to be when we grow up. And he studied a whole bunch of people, and he said, you know, there were people who found something to do, people who could turn the crank and produce, but they never really found fulfillment. The people who found fulfillment were the people who figured out who they wanted to be, how they wanted to show up in the world as a person. And I see that so much with entrepreneurs and, you know, the successful companies. You know, Simon Sinek and his whole, you know, what's your why?
Right. Yeah.
It's examining, and it's taking that back to its roots is what this guy did. And, you know, so that whole strain, that whole line of thought, starting with this identity formation, you know, Simon Sinek's getting to why. The really early people who started to combine data and social sciences to look at organizational dynamics. So these are the Peter Druckers, the Demings, those kind of people in the world who realized that, yeah, you needed to have the measures in your business, but you also needed to look at the human dynamics, that these systems, I think it was Akoff, but I'll get the researcher wrong, who talked about socio-technical systems, that there's a social component and a technical component. And you can only optimize the system if you realize that it does contain both of those elements.
Right.
And then I'm going to blank on the name right now, but the guy who wrote the book, The Founder's Dilemma, I don't know if you've read that, but that's, if I'm going to make one book recommend, and it's a big thick book and it's not as easy a read as it probably ought to be, but it's worth it. And it talks about all of these decision points. The idea that you need to have clarity among the partners, that you need to hire for your weaknesses instead of just hiring people who are just like you, all of those things. It's really a great book on looking at why startups succeed and what kind of challenges they face.
Yeah. Bigger books tend to scare some of the younger crowd will weigh a little bit, but maybe they've made it into an audio version by now.
Yeah. Or, you know, there might be articles and little, Google, Founder's Dilemma, PDF or Founder's Dilemma PowerPoint. You can probably find somebody who wrote a presentation about it.
There you go. So last question, what does success mean to you and how do you achieve that in your life?
Yeah, I think success ultimately is enjoying what you do, is finding a way to be able to sustain yourself in the way that you want to sustain yourself, you know, financially, spiritually, whatever that means for yourself, in relationships, you know, both family and community. It's that blend that we talked about earlier, not work and life being these separate things, but all of the parts of your life working together. And so that's what I'm always working on. I do business with, I hang out with people that I would hang out with even if we weren't doing business together. That's one of my criteria. Mm-hmm. And I pursue the things that support each other. You know, so there are some interests that I have that would just take me in a completely different direction. And I realized this just isn't the time to do that, because that might be momentarily satisfying, but it would just create too much disruption in the rest of my life.
Yeah. No, I can definitely identify with that one. I mean, yeah. It's like, do you go back to the comfort zone, or do you keep going forward with what you're wanting to do and who you see?
Well, and that's a big part of it, is finding the stuff that is challenging, but is also compelling enough to you that you're going to do it. It's the difference between wanting to have written a book and finding something that is energetic enough that you're going to write the book about it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Exactly. As we're going off here, what are some things or some resources that you think that a person listening to today's show can check out on their own to get better situated to have a successful business?
Gosh. Well, certainly, you know, I not so subtle plug for our event. We talked about the idea that we are starting a new event. It's called Career and Coffee. You can go to logica-usa.com/events, and that's where our event calendar is right now. We're still building up that event, so there aren't a lot of them. And that's, we think of it as sort of the next generation in networking. Mm-hmm. So it's not the come and listen to the sage on the stage. I talk for 6 minutes and 40 seconds, and then we lead a conversation for the rest of the event. It's a place for people to interact and really experience what that mutually supportive environment might look like. Mm-hmm. The blogs and the podcasts that you guys are putting out are a great resource. That whole idea of connecting to a community and both reaching out, but also building that high trust community, I think is key to anybody who's trying to figure out what this next generation of work is going to look like and how they're going how they're going to thrive in it. And then the last thing I'll say, and this is whether you decide to work with me or decide to work with anybody else, invest in yourself. You know, be really selective about the things that you invest in, but take a class, go to a workshop, become part of a professionally facilitated group. Find the support systems that are going to work for you, and commit to them. Commit your time, and you know, if you have to pay for them, commit to doing that as well.
Nice. Yeah, it's, you know, one of the things that I always grew up with the idea is that, you know, if there's anything that you need to be spending money on, it's definitely education.
Absolutely. And think really broadly about education. I mean, you know, a lot of the universities are doing some great stuff now. As you mentioned, there's some fantastic entrepreneurial programs out there. But look at the whole spectrum of stuff that's out there. And really, it's finding that match. It's figuring out what's going to work for you. And the best measure of what's working for you is what is moving you to positive action. You know, I see so many people who go to a class or read a book or read something online, and their intellectual curiosity is filled, so they feel a certain level of satisfaction with that. Mm-hmm. And that's great. But what are the things that you're doing? What events are you attending? What classes are you taking? What is it that is actual? At the end of it, you go, oh, I did this, and it produced this result. That's the measure.
Right. Nice. Cool. So, Joe, where can people find out more about you and career and coffee?
I'll mention again, it's www.logica, and that's logika-usa.com, and the events calendar is at /events. Mm-hmm. That's the best place to find out. And from there, you can go to the YouTube channel. We're building that out. And the blog and all of that stuff is there.
Cool. And you're reachable on LinkedIn?
You can get me through LinkedIn. There's a contact me button on the website. That's usually the best way that gets through all the spam filters and all that sort of stuff. So that works out well if people want to email me. And as I mentioned earlier, if you have a space in the community and you really believe in supporting community businesses, we love doing career and coffee events, and if people want to host them, we'd love to talk to you.
Great, cool. All right, well, I think that's pretty much it. So, Joe. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks. It was great.
Yeah, definitely appreciated having you on. So there you have it, guys. I hope you enjoyed this insightful session with Dr. Joe. Be sure to contact him if you're interested in helping out his mission and expanding career in coffee, or if you'd just like some additional support, I'm sure he'd be available. Also, remember to tag us on Twitter at @newinceptions and Instagram at @new.inceptions, and let us know what you thought of today's show. And don't forget to subscribe to the show via iTunes, Stitcher, and SoundCloud. As with every session, show notes are available by going to newinceptions.com/session30. Show note extras for this session include some videos that I thought would be interested in relating to today's topic, specifically looking at the developing the entrepreneurial mindset. The first video is entitled Becoming an Entrepreneur by a guy that's brand new to me by the name of Alexander Vitkin. Seems to have a rather strong following on the web, and first time I bumped into him. Very good video there, and that one is followed up by How to Be an Entrepreneur by the School of Life, which I highly recommend you subscribe to that particular channel. Chase Reeves, part of Fizzle, loves that channel, so comes duly recommended. The next video is A Day in the Life of an Entrepreneur, again by Alexander. The video after that is Career Advice on Becoming an Entrepreneur, provided by Richard Branson. And then after that is the long clip of the group called The Top 10 Mistakes of Entrepreneurs by Guy Kawasaki. In next week's show, I talk with another PhD about entrepreneurship. In fact, it's someone that I went to school with. Dr. Brian Glassman has a doctorate in idea generation. When I first heard that you could get a doctorate in that particular subject, I kind of just shrugged it off. I was like, good for him. You know, I didn't personally see any practical use for it. But man, was I wrong. Today, he's what you'd call an intrapreneur. Someone that leverages most of the skills of an entrepreneur, but at the same time has backing of particular corporations. Through those resources of those corporations, he's able to do what many startup entrepreneurs cannot. Now, he believes personally that it's a rather logical approach in becoming the next Elon Musk. You know, start in a higher level and then work your way on over to, something that you want to do instead of starting from the ground and working your way up. In our chat, we talk about his years in academia and his thoughts of the label of entrepreneur. We also talk about his work-life balance a bit and how a workaholic like himself could meet and marry a gal who has big dreams and aspirations of her own. So tune in next Thursday for that chat. Should definitely be interesting. And Brian's an interesting cat, I'll tell you that much. Until then, head on over to the show notes found at newinceptions.com/session30. Again, there is where you'll find the notes for everything we discussed today. Thank you guys so much for listening today. We really appreciate the feedback and also enjoy bringing you guests that are relevant in all levels of building a passion-filled business. You know, a great way of building your tribe as an entrepreneur is by offering value to others. You know, share this session with someone you think would get something out of it.
Perhaps they'll seek Dr. Joe's help. In the long run, they'll probably be thanking you for that one. Remember that New Inceptions is an online business incubator. We want to be able to give you more than just advice. We want to give you support to do the work you're meant to do. So let us know how we can help you more. You can always do that by emailing us at heyguys@newinceptions.com. Finally, don't forget to leave us a review on whichever platform you're using, especially iTunes. Beyond making us look good, it also helps new people find the show. Just like we've hopefully given you support to get further with your business, hopefully we can provide the additional help for them as well. So I think that pretty much covers it. Go check out the show notes at newinceptions.com/session30 if you want to connect with Dr. Joe. And until next time, keep doing the work that you're meant to do. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to the Angles of Latitude podcast. Connect with us at home, at work, or on the go at facebook.com/newinceptions, on Twitter @newinceptions, or on the web @newinceptions.com.